living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my soul.
Growing up, I was homeschooled, and really pretty much all throughout school until I was a junior in high school. And so when I was a junior, I went to public school. And it was a pretty smooth transition. You know, I didn't have any trouble in any of the classes. All that went fine and dandy, but what was stressing me out was the lunchtime. Okay? You see, that first day, I walked into the cafeteria, and there was this long line of people down the room, and this long line, it went behind this solid wall. It was windowless, cinder block. You couldn't see through it. And then this line, they would come out at the other end, the other side of that wall. But I had no idea what happened behind that wall. And I was scared to death to get in that line and get behind that wall and find out that I didn't have the right code or I didn't have the right know-how to do whatever it was that I needed to do back there. So for the first 2 months of high school, I drank Coke. That's how I handled it. I sat in the lobby and I drank Coke. But I'll tell you, I was hungry, you know, and I really wanted to go behind that wall. Then one day my cousin and I were talking, and he had just gotten his driver's license. And he was freaking out because he didn't know how to fill up his truck. You know, he'd never pumped gas, so he didn't know, you know, do I pay, do I not pay, you know, which button do I push? I don't know how to do it, Shane. So I said, well, let me tell you, buddy, I've got a deal for you. I said, if you'll show me how to go through the lunch line, I'll show you how to pump gas. And so that's what we did. I mean, I'll tell you, those French fries, they were good. That first day, I bought like 3 orders of French fries. My tray was just overflowing with these French fries. Isn't that a good story? Yeah. I told you it was a good one. But, you know, I was thinking about that. What I was thinking about this week was, you know, isn't it great when you and I, when we can get something settled? You know, when we get a problem figured out, when you can get something worked out with somebody else, whether it's resolving an issue, coming to an agreement, you know, it's always satisfying to at last to get something settled. And you know, in our passage of Scripture this morning, we find another situation that needs to be settled. We need to understand that this one, this dilemma, is one which demands settlement. It demands it. It's a real life scenario where to not settle, to remain alone in the lobby, sipping on a Coke, unwilling to confront your fear, to not settle this matter, it leads to death. It ultimately leads to death, so it needs to be settled. So we're going to look at that. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 59. If you don't have a Bible with you, there should be one close to the bottom of the chair there in front of you. We'll also have the words on the screen behind me, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. But Luke chapter 12, verse 49 through 59. It says, I came to cast fire on the earth and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once a shower is coming, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right as you go with your accuser before the magistrate? Make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer put you in prison. I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the very last penny. Now, there's a lot happening in these verses, so I want to say this as simply as I can. When we look at this passage, what I want you to understand today is that Jesus Christ, in his life and through his call, he essentially drew a line in the earth. Okay? He drew a line in the earth and he said, all who love me will do what I say. And you and I then, we have a decision to make. Will we cross that line? If we're going to love Jesus and do what he says, we have to make that decision. Now, to delay that decision, we see in our passage, to delay that decision puts us at perilous risk. The delay. So that's what we find in our passage. The main thrust is that Jesus has called to you today to follow him. To delay the acceptance of that call can be deadly. So the question this morning is, will you settle with the Savior? Will you settle with the King? So looking at this more closely in those first verses, you know, in verse 51, it says, do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. I've not come to give peace, it says, but rather division. Now, do you know who's saying that? We see that word division. We think, well, you know, man, that division, that must be Judas talking. That sounds like something that Judas would talk about. Or maybe they're quoting Saul, you know, that mulish Old Testament king, that stubborn Old Testament king. Maybe they're quoting him. Saul. Yeah, Saul would be talking about division. Or maybe it's the Prince of Darkness even. You know, maybe that's who's talking about division. But do you know who it is? It's Jesus. That's Jesus there in Luke 12, who says, do you think that I've come to give peace on earth? No, he says. Division. Division, Jesus. I mean, you know, at first that might worry us a little bit. You know, maybe shake us at our boots a touch. You know, why? I mean, why would Jesus say that? I mean, I always thought that Jesus was about uniting, right? I mean, making that way for us to be united with the Father. You know, uniting. I thought that was his thing. And you know what? That is his thing. Jesus is about that. He is about uniting us with the Father. But you know, we see that and we still wonder, well, but Jesus, you know, I thought he was about reconciling, you know, having us forgiving each other, bringing people together. I thought that was his thing. And it is. You know, Jesus is all about forgiving one another as in Christ we have been forgiven. That is his thing. You know, when you think about it, I mean, peace, you know, what is peace? Well, peace is the result of the gospel. When the sweet message of Jesus Christ is believed, when the nutrients of his news, okay, when the nutrients of his news is at last absorbed, peace is born. The fruit of peace is seen. That's why the angels declared at his birth that this Jesus, this baby, had come to bring peace. But understand that when Jesus says, "Do you think that I've come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division," it's because of this. We understand that while there are those who receive his peace, there are those who do not. Okay? There are those who receive the peace, there are those who do not. There are those who are hard, there are those who are vain, there are those who are determined in their sin and prideful, refusing to submit to the will of God. And so there's a division there. In that way, the very message of peace that Jesus is bringing, it causes division because there are those who have accepted it and those who have not. Does that make sense? Okay, that's the division that Jesus is talking about. You know, I thought about, really, Jesus, he's been splitting for a long time. You know, I thought about his birth. You know, what did that do? Well, his birth, it split time. Right? You think about our calendar. How do we, you know, measure dates and events? Well, it's before Christ. Was it before Christ or was it after Christ? So it, in his birth, that split time. And we can understand then that in his life, it was his life that ultimately split mankind. Okay? His birth split time, but his life split mankind. You know, why do we say that? Well, look at verses 52 and 53. It says, "From now on in one house there will be five divided, three against two, two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." So it's saying that they that are after the world will not be at peace with those who are after Christ. You know, that's what it's saying. It's saying there's a division there, a dividing that takes place. They that are after the world will not be at peace with those who are after Christ. And that's interesting. It's an interesting thought because, you know, I think in the church today, that's a big question that people are asking, that they're wrestling with. You know, how can we be at peace with the world? How can we get along more with the world? You know, some in the church, maybe they're asking, you know, they're thinking, well, the world, it just seems to look at us so negatively in such a negative light. It's almost like they're repelled by us. So how can we be more attractive to the world? Some wonder. Well, listen. The fact of the matter is that the way of Christ condemns the way of the world. Okay? The way of Christ condemns the way of the world. And therefore, there can be no true blending of the two ways. No true blending of the ways. They, in their very, very nature, they repel one another. You know, you think about that oil and water. I was going to get it up here, you know, a stand and all that. But I was like, they've seen that oil and water business a million times. I'm not going to mess with it. But you know, you can picture that of how you pour the oil and the water and you can't mix them. You can't blend. Why? At their essence, they're separate. And that's how it is with the way of Christ and the way of the world. They're not compatible. So we have to understand that where there is right and holy judgment, and where there is a pure commitment to the one way, the way of Christ, there will be division. It's just going to be there. It's going to be there because, listen, Jesus, the way of Jesus does not endorse the way of the world. And people like to be endorsed. Have you noticed that? You know, people like to be endorsed. But the way of Christ cannot endorse the way of the world. So that division is inevitable. So I just wondered, you know, as a, not to get deep into it, but are we trying to be, are you trying to be a world buddy? In some way, I don't know what it might be. But have you found yourself trying to be a world buddy? Meaning that, you know, in some way, do you find yourself perhaps endorsing a sin in the name of Jesus? You know, Jesus was all about loving us, each of us, as sinners. And that loving, understand that that loving, it included us knowing exactly who He was. And it included us knowing exactly what He was about. So we need to understand this as we're out in the world. Understand that love without truth is no truth at all. Okay? Understand that love without truth, it is no truth at all. You know, I remember a friend of mine years ago. He came over to the house and he had this, I mean, he had a lot of things going on in his life. And so he came over to the house and he had this situation that was happening and he wanted to know what I thought about it. And so, you know, I told him that, well, I thought it was wrong and if he went through it, he would regret it for the rest of his life. But I also said, but listen, I want you to know that no matter what you do, that I'm going to love you no matter what, and I will always be here for you. But I told him that I think you'll regret this the rest of your life if you do it. And of course, he went ahead and did it because that's what, you know, people do. I mean, we just do what we're going to do. But I wish I had more examples of that because I feel like that was a good exercise of love. You know, there was truth there, but there was also that tenderness and that never give up mentality, never give up love, you know, that Jesus has for us. But we need to ask, you know, am I trying to be a world buddy? Consider those verses in 49 through 53. You know, see, is that possible to be a buddy of the world? Because understand that the way of Jesus, it splits mankind into those who follow Him and those who do not. So recognizing that then, seeing the state of the disunion, that resulting disunion, may we understand then that today is the day to do His will. Okay? Today is the day to do His will. In verses 54 through 56, it says, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And so here in these verses, Jesus, He's chiding the crowds and He's saying, can you not see that the Messiah is here? He's saying, can you not interpret the present time? Can you not see that the Messiah is here? He's saying, listen, I have sent out the call. I've drawn that line in the earth. Now is the time for you to cross that line of faith. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of the Lord. It is the day to do my will. This is the present time, the here and now, to follow me, to be in step with my commands and to be attuned to what I'm doing. But notice, in those verses that Jesus, he was not where those crowds were at in their heart and in their heads, their attention. It wasn't fixed on Jesus. Their attention wasn't on what was happening with Jesus, but it was on what was happening in the world. That's what they were concerned about. He said a cloud rises in the west. We're watching that. We've seen that before. We know all about what to do when the cloud rises in the west. They had that part down. Said a wind blows from the south. Well, hey, I've heard of that. I know how to handle that. We know what to do now when the wind blows from the south. The crowds knew of the wind, but they knew nothing of Jesus. And so the rebuke came. Okay, they knew of the wind, but they knew nothing of Jesus. They knew nothing of what he was doing. They knew nothing of what he wanted to do. And I wonder, guys, are we like that? Are we like that crowd in verses 54 through 56? The question I want you to ask yourself this morning is, am I more world savvy or God savvy? Can you answer that? Today, am I more world savvy or God savvy? I'll tell you, it always, excuse me, it always makes me feel good whenever I hear somebody talking about some song or some movie or some TV show or trend, and I've never heard of it. And I'm like, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, I finally missed something. I'm finally unaware of one thing that's not going on in the world. Praise the Lord. That always makes you feel good, but it doesn't happen enough, And I'll tell you, I want it to happen more. I want that experience to happen more. I want to be more dumb to the world. I'd like to be a lot dumber. Consider it in context, I don't want to be as world savvy as I am, but I want to be more God savvy. I want to be more of a student of Christ, one who's watching every move, one who's fixed intently on the author and the perfecter, one who's like the Christians of old who in the mornings they would wake up and they would get out of their bed and they would look out their window and they would say, will it be today, Lord? Will it be today? And at night, before they'd go to bed, they'd go over to their window again and they'd look out and they'd say, will it be tonight, Lord? Will it be tonight? That's what I want to be like. Watching for that every movement. We need to recognize that the Messiah has come, that he has called us to his way, to do his will today. To do it today and not delay. Because, as I studied this week, I was really impressed that I just really need to get on it, when it comes to Christ and me. I mean, I feel like, I'm in this pattern in my life now where I've got, my role here at the church, and I've got my role here at the farm, and then we've got this the family at home, and really I'm really comfortable. I feel really good about those three areas of my life and what's going on in them right now. But I feel like in my heart, in my relationship with God, I feel like I've tried to put him on hold. You know, I tried to put him in a holding pattern. Put him in a holding pen. You know, okay, just a little pig info here for you. Okay. So like at the show, you know, the big time, the fair, you know, you've got the arena and all the pigs, they go out into the arena and all the people are clapping and, you know, it's just awesome to be at the hog show. But, you know, before you go out into that arena, they put you in a holding pen. And it's this little tiny pen that you have to get in with your pig. And it's small so that the pig, he can't move around. He can't escape. He can't get dirty. You're just there in that little holding pen. You know, and I'm embarrassed to say it, but I mean, I feel like that's what I'm trying to do with Jesus. You know, isn't that foolish? I mean, you know, yeah, I'm going to keep Jesus in a holding pen. You know, that's dumb. It's very dumb. You know, but it's like, you know, I've got these three things going, and man, God, I appreciate you helping me with that, and boy, I'm happy with it. So you and I, let's just hold on here. Let's get through these other things, and then we'll get some time for you and I. You know, but beware of the danger of that, of trying to put Jesus in a pen. Beware of that, because listen, it is not the place to be. If our lives are not built upon the rock, they will fall. If our lives are not held up by that rock, they will crumble. You know, and how quickly will that fall come? How quickly will it come? And so we're saying, look, recognize the present time, that today is the day to turn to the way of Christ. Today is the day. It is not tomorrow. It is not when things calm down. It is not when I have time and I've done what I wanted to do. May God have mercy on those who wait. For we must settle. And we must settle things. Jesus says, my account must be settled today. It must be settled today. In verses 57 through 59, it says, and why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? As you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer put you in prison. I tell you, you will never get out, until you have paid the very last penny. In these verses, we see that Jesus compares us to a man on his way to the judge. This man is accompanied by his adversary. We can understand that, like that man, you and I, we are on our way, ultimately, to the presence of a judge, right? We are all on our way, and the time will come fast when we'll all stand beneath that gavel. The time will come. And like the man had an adversary, we have an adversary. You know, who's our adversary? Well, our adversary is the holy law of God. It's that perfect law that you and I have fallen short of time and time and time again. It's the holy law of God that we've fallen short of. And Jesus is saying that we must settle with this adversary. We have to settle with this accuser. We have to settle with this law before you reach the judge. Because understand that once that judge declares you guilty, okay, once that verdict is rendered, there is no appeal which will be granted to you. Appeal is not an option. You know, back in the old days, if you didn't get things right with your accuser and you went before the judge and you were sent into a debtor's prison, you were there for good because there was no way that you were going to be able to pay it off, even down to the last penny. you were condemned. And so Jesus is saying, man, settle today. Settle today with the holy law of God. You know, do you understand today how tender our position is? How tender our position is before God. In July of 1741, Jonathan Edwards, he preached a sermon in which he told the people this. And it speaks to that tender position apart from Christ, apart from His way. He said, "You hang by a slender thread with the flames of divine wrath flashing about it and ready every moment to singe it and burn it asunder. And you have no interest in any mediator and nothing to lay hold of to save yourself, nothing to keep off the flames of wrath, nothing of your own, nothing that you have ever done, nothing that you can do to induce God to spare you for a moment." He said, how slender is the thread? How tender is your place before God? So Jesus says, settle. You know, He says, settle with your accuser today. Settle today. And of course, you know, if we do not know, there is but one righteous, there is but one who could possibly have conquered the condemnation of the law, and it was Jesus Christ who did. It was the one who came down from heaven declaring that the way of God, it would split mankind. It was the one who called us out to come after Him, to follow after Him, and to do His will. It is the great one who settles our standing before the King. It's Jesus Christ who grants us victory over that condemnation, innocence from that condemnation that's found in the holy law of God. And you know, I don't know where you're at this morning, but it could be that you're sitting in the lobby and you're just going through life, you know, day after day. And for whatever reason, you know, you're happy sitting there and sipping on a Coke, fearful of what is unseen, fearful of what is behind that wall, indifferent to life, you know, indifferent to eternal life. Maybe that's where you're at today. You know, but hear the words of the older saints. Hear the words in Scripture that position is ever so tender. And you will not get out. You will not get out. So settle, He says. Settle today with your King. If we could bow our heads and as I mentioned, there are a lot of things in this passage. A lot of things that you could take hold of. And you know, are you trying to be a buddy of the world in some way? A world buddy? You know, Spirit, we need You to help us see those natures, the spirit nature and the world nature, they collide, they repel. They cannot be mixed. You know, are you more world savvy than God savvy with all that we have around us? You know, all of the information, all of the avenues, there's so much world. We see that today is the day to cross that line and to follow His way, to be about Him, to be about the present time and not what's happening with the clouds and not what's happening with the ever-changing, ever-fleeting wind. And then if today, if you were to stand before the judge, what would the verdict be? For it is He who came, it is He who longs to set you free, to see you declared righteous in the presence of the great judge. Would you respond to Him today? But Father, I pray for each heart this morning that there would be a spirit-led yearning to cross that line and to seek after Your way. Father, whatever fear, whatever doubt, whatever struggle, whatever sin might be pulling at them, may it be broken in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, would You break it today? The ignorance, the pride, would You break it today? Lead us into Your loving arms, we pray. Lead us after You. So Father, for each heart, would You come alongside? Would You give them what they need? And I just pray for a great dose of assurance for those in You. A great dose of fire for those who are chasing after You. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.